Online Podcast 220.
Hello, welcome to Online Podcast. This is John. I am going to play a recorded show today. Welcome. It's Monday. I'm walking in the street now, actually. Some of you may have seen me on iChat, and I was waiting in line for an hour. Well, I wasn't waiting in line, but I was at the Panera Bread waiting to get some breakfast. And the line was so long that I just sat down and got onto the computer and thinking that when the line eases out, I would get my breakfast. However, the line kept growing, so I never did get to get my breakfast. So I'm going up now to my car to get some snacks. So, because I'm crazily busy today, I don't have time to record. I'm walking up the stairs, and I don't have time to record a new show. So this is probably going to be it. No, it's not going to be that short, but you will be, gosh, I'm out of breath. You'll be hearing one small chunk of the 4-hour recordings that Binoy Boy Peter from oipod.net recorded with me last week. But due to a very sad network issue reported by Peter from oipod, I'm sorry, I'm out of breath, so horrible. I'm panting. Because of the network issue that Peter and Pinoy Boy had. Some of you may have gone over there from last Monday's show, from the link that I provided on my website, and to find that the website is actually down. So, I'm going to re-invite you to go over to oipod.net again, because this time, hopefully, the website will be up. So I'm now at my car and completely out of breath. You shouldn't talk, really. I mean, I don't feel like I'm that out of breath when I'm not talking. So I'm getting into my car. I'm not using my binaural because I am recording with a different device. I'm using a microphone attachment that goes into my iPod. So I'm recording directly from there. And I got my snacky bar. I'm gonna go to work now. And so I will. Let me see. We'll listen to the rest of the conversation. Very interesting conversation. I mean, there's so many things. And enjoy the recording. Bye. Well, I'll come back again.
Welcome to Online After the Show Raw, which I'm not gonna do any editing because I've done enough editing for this week.
Can I say fuck then?
You can say fuck anytime.
I'm just kidding. John said fuck before.
I know, I was being funny. It's an American thing.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about nipples and, you know, super show or Super Bowl shows, and
we're so hung up on those things that that we feel liberated when we get to say fuck, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I say fuck every day, all day long. Please, I have a mouth like a sailor.
You say,
oh, God, yeah.
But do you have pink nipples? Yes, you do.
Yes, I do, very much so, as a matter of fact.
Oh, interesting. So, hey, Calvin, you still there? In fact, is there any other listener who wants to join this? If I know that somebody's listening. Somebody sent me 4 messages. Send me 4 messages that I didn't read. Hi, John. Hello. Hi, Miku. Anybody there? Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm doing a show. Yes, I'm recording in English. Hello. English. So, So is there anything that you guys, because there are more stories to be told by Peter.
Yeah.
So tell us the other stories that you want to
The other story I want to tell you was when you were talking about being in the Banana Republic. And I think I talked about this on our podcast, but I love this story. I am, as we've said before, not really a small guy. I'm kind of a fat white boy. So I remember this one time I had ordered some pants.
Plump and proud.
Yes, I'm very proud to be a plump boy.
It plump and proud.
Me at all. But I ordered these pants from, I think it was Eddie Bauer, because they custom hem pants for you, which is really nice. Like when you can order any waist size and any inseam. And I have a fat stomach and a very small inseam, so I had to order these pants. And they didn't fit. I didn't like the way they cut, so I went back to the store, and I went to return them, and there was a really long line. And as I was waiting my turn in line, I was just looking through the khakis and stuff to try to see if they just happened to have anything of my size.
Yeah.
And the sales lady came over, and she asked me what I was doing, and I explained the story. And she took the pants, and she looked at the inside, and it said what my waist size was. And she went, "We don't have anything that big in this store."
Bitch!
Oh my god!
Your head is that big, bitch!
Oh, I was like, "What?"
I was like, "What's a vagina size? Let me measure it."
Ew, I don't want to see that. No thanks.
Yeah, I was just telling Bruce that, you know, I'm not. The reason I'm going to explain to you why I think so, but why I brought up the subject with Bruce is that we went out to dinner and. Did I tell him over dinner? I hope not. I said that I am not grossed out by breasts, but I am grossed out by vagina. And no offense to the ladies, you know, you want to save your vagina for those who appreciate it. but I am a bit grossed out by it. And
I'm disgusted when it's overgrown bush, but I'm not disgusted by it. I kind of
don't
find
you
it
want
attractive.
The 70s Debbie Does Dallas Boosh?
Yeah, but you know, if it's overgrown and it kind of looks like they're wearing, like, hair panties, no.
Well, it's a protective gear.
No, because, you know, it could cover a huge part of the front pelvis and it's not attractive, but, you know, the pussy does not scare me.
See, but I've never seen the pussy in person.
So neither have I. I don't think I've seen a real one. I've seen pictures.
I've seen them on TV.
Maybe it's more fun. Is it better in real person? Calvin, do you like... Shit, I shouldn't be that direct, but you know, you're on online, so you know, you have to be wide open. You should be able to take your pants off right now. You should bear it all. So
in my ranking, it ranks higher than ass, actually.
So you mean grossness or liking it. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'll pass.
I think I'll pass too. I mean, I'm
it's
not
delicious.
Well, you know, at this point in my life, the age that I am, and the fact that I've been with my boyfriend for 11 years, I think that's a moot point.
Oh, right.
No, okay. So it sounds like you've eaten one. I mean,
noshed.
Well, you've noshed on non one, right? Or at least
I'm
at
sorry,
least
you guys.
One.
I mean, you have to train your tongue. Right. So
no. Okay. Tell me. So tell me. So do you? Are you identified as, or do you even want to be identified as anything? Are you bisexual, or are you gay, or are you just test?
I'm pretty much. I think I'm gay. I assume myself as.
But
gay.
It was before all that time, or do you still feel like, oh my gosh, it's hot eating muscles?
Well, there is the time where you kind of have to explore and you have to find out what's out there, right? Because I can't...
No, I don't have to.
Talk about the things without, you know, knowing
testing.
About.
But the thing is, it's not like I have to sample it to, like, you know...
No, I disagree. I actually wish in my younger days that I would have at least tried it.
I know, I did not.
But I was afraid of it. From the very first time it was offered to me, I wanted to run the
Well, it's not
way.
Attractive to me. It's
no,
like,
I just was scared. I didn't know. I didn't feel like it was right.
I'm actually salivating.
Oh, very nice.
Okay, I'm salivating too. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but
I'm
it's
not.
Out of, like, you know, when you salivate before you throw up kind of thing. Your mouth water, it's like, bleh. No, I'm kidding. But no,
I'm very curious to know whether I would have enjoyed it or not, and I wish I would have.
Now, however, I do find a question. Should I even talk about this? Well, it's okay. It's me personally. I don't want to talk about relationship and bedroom stuff because it involves another person, and I don't want to talk about that. But I do have to say that I do find guys, especially if he's hot, licking the pussy as hot. It's I don't know what the idea of it
in porn, right?
Oh, in porn, it's absolutely crazy.
The idea. I think.
I like the actually watching of it. I think it's very erotic.
Yeah,
but
think
it's taboo to me. It's like something I don't know anything about, so it's kind of like, ooh. I'm sorry. It does. I really do actually enjoy that.
So Kelvin, are you uncomfortable yet, or are you pretty much cool with the talk? Since you're Asian. Yeah, I am too. So is Pinoy boy. What did you say?
Don't have any idea on this topic.
Oh my gosh, how old are you? Are you very young? But you are over 18, right?
24.
Oh, 24. Okay. Oh, so you're
It doesn't matter in Asian, right? So
What do you mean?
The age of consent, isn't that like out the window in Asia?
Is it really? I'm not sure. I still only have people over 18 come on my Pinoy Hokkien.
Like they're gonna extradite you
for being a whore.
Yeah.
Right.
Oi.
So what do you have to say? Or do you just have nothing to say, Kelvin?
Nothing to say.
I think he's a bit more shy than anything else, I think.
Kelvin, we're all weird and scary.
You've never had a woman come up to you or, I don't know, find you attractive?
Didn't have.
Okay, he's too shy to say.
Probably like six shades of red blushing.
Right, the Miku.
What about you, John? Did women ever throw themselves at you?
Yes. All the time. Because I have that, like I said, you know, my personality is in such that but I'm so gay though.
Women want butter in there.
Yeah, it's like spreading butter, you know, it goes into all the nooks and crannies. Including the vagina. No. I do have women admirers, and they usually turn out to be a very good hag of mine eventually.
And that's what they pretty much do. I mean, that's the natural course of things when they find out you're gay.
Right.
See, yeah, I've never had this problem.
Oh.
I only have one person who's even remotely like a hag, and she's not really. She's a mother, and
yeah,
she's
was
kind
it not,
of a,
not everyone, but, I don't think, not every fag has a hag. Right?
And I don't think any of my ex-girlfriends even know that I'm gay now at this point.
See, the thing is, I am not the most flamboyant, or, what do you call it? Is it flamboyant? No, I'm not the most...
Outgoing?
No, it's like, as in the whole sissy... What do you call it? Like,
okay, not, you're not a sissy. You're not...
Yeah, I'm not a sissy. Well, I sort of am. But I am not a big, full-blown sissy. I don't cover up when it comes to the part that I feel that is a bit more effeminate. But I am also completely, so totally not butch. So people with enough information or correct information should know that I'm not straight. Whether or not I'm bi or confused or whatever is another thing. But I'm just definitely... won't pass as being straight, but in Asia it doesn't matter because there's so many guy who are so effeminate that are a father of, you know, 10 children, and so it's either, you know, they get married regardless of their homosexuality, and because of that or whatever, by whatever, they continue to sort of make people think that if you don't say that you're gay, even though you're completely so gay outside, you're not gay until
right.
you proclaim
there,
that you're
there
gay.
There is like this strange thing that happens when it's because people just assume that it doesn't exist, that you're not gay unless if you're like a big old tranny or you dress up as a woman,
right.
So people just assume, okay, you're not one of those people that you know, looks like a woman, then you're probably straight, even if you act effeminate or if you rub up against men, people just assume that you're straight. There's this weird phenomenon
right.
in the Philippines where
yeah, same thing
it's
in
perfectly
Malaysia.
Fine for a man to put his arm around another man and start walking down the street.
Oh, yes.
And it was
yes.
strangest thing. I tried to videotape it, but
right.
I just want to look weird. But that was perfectly fine, and people
right.
just assumed that they were just really good friends. And there, a lot of guys do that.
I know. Okay, this is the reason why I the reason why I know, of course, you grew up, you were born and grew up in the West. So so it's a culturally not something that you grew up with, right? With that sort of friend
right, that
affection.
Males could be that much of a friend.
Yeah. Right. I find that interesting, and I got so hot and bothered by it too, is when, when I don't know whether they are Indonesian or Filipinos, but we have next to our church is this construction site, and they were construction workers.
Hot.
And, you know, and they are hot to begin with, right, construction workers.
Uh-huh.
And they would be walking together, holding hand, like, you know, palm locking another person's palm, and walking down the street.
Get your ass kicked in America for that.
And I just find that hot. But it's not in Asian culture, though. Kelvin, right? We don't do that in our Chinese culture. We don't do that. We don't, right? Kelvin, we don't hold... Maybe I'm stupid, but I don't think we hold hands, guys.
Strangely enough, the Filipino women hold hands. And I think men just got jealous of that kind of friendship, and that's how the whole arm hold... The arm over a shoulder.
No, I did kind of read... I did read somewhere or watch a documentary, and they talk about how different cultures are. And I think there's quite a few. I think Pakistani, they do that too, holding hands, if I'm not mistaken. But it is, yeah, some cultures is just you can show holding hands or even like let's just
it's hugging on
the shoulder, walking down the street. It's completely
it's friendship, but not intimate,
right? And it's not considered a taboo at all.
Right.
But I don't think Chinese culture, no. Chinese culture, girls can be holding girls' hand, and in fact I've seen those. Not guys though, right?
Not guys.
Because guys have to have that
girls
macho
can. Not guys.
Guys have to have that macho persona. Like
well, when I was like standing out in front of my mom's house or in the market, I just saw doesn't matter what age, it was just two guys just hanging on to each other as if they were like completely drunk. It's like, wait, no, they can't be drunk at all hours of the day. They just like to put their arm around each other. It was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah. You know, I don't remember now which, I think it was a documentary now, it just came back to me. They were saying that, was it in India? Or was it... I don't know. I don't remember what country now. And the boys get to be... And even because of their interaction, some of them actually experience... because of the age, you know, like 13, 14 years old, but all they have to do is they have to hang out with the men's group, and therefore a lot of their sexual experience actually started within the boys' group. It doesn't mean that they were... it doesn't mean that they're gay... they just experimented because, you know, I have a... Yeah, I shouldn't...
That's so hot.
And, yeah, so I think I saw a documentary now. I remember now. I think it was in India.
I saw a documentary about... what is that? There is a cross-dressing god.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know
and
what you're
talking
about.
These people, like, they leave their wives and they flock.
Oh, for one night.
Yeah, right? And they dress up as women's to be the bride of the god.
Where it's okay to be completely
cross-dressing, and they usually have sex with like the gypsy transient people. And
That was in India.
But what was the name of the god? Because it was the name of the god was like Venus or something like that. It wasn't like a name you had not heard of. It just was something different in the things that I knew. But yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think, and I know India, well, I don't know India much, but I do know India is a very, a lot of, you know, Kama Sutra comes from India. So it's sexually quite rather open country or
really
culture originally.
Well, that's the thing is that there is a division of, there's sex, right, which
Kelvin, excuse me, I'm going to be a sound whore now. Kelvin.
Yes.
You're making a lot of noise. I'm here. Okay, maybe I should let him go. Cause I'm gonna let you go. Do you have anything else to say? I hate to kick you off like that, but I know that you might not be talking too much about what we're talking right now. So, you can still keep listening, and thank you for chiming in here and there. And we'll chat another time in Hokkien.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Poor Calvin. We're scaring him.
A little bit, maybe. But
here's the thing. In India, we have to first understand that there's male and female sex, right? You've got a penis, you've got a vagina, or you've got both, right?
Right.
But there's also a social component.
What do you mean, or you got both? Wait.
If you're hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite.
Right.
But then there's even further
there's sex roles, right? We call a man male, we call a woman female, mm-hmm. right? Because we assign gender roles to them.
Right.
Right. Whereas in India, there are further shades
classification.
Of
classification. Yeah.
Right. There's more really? Genders.
Remember that class that is like they're transsexuals, and they are considered as almost
magic
like
people.
Yeah, they have magic power and mm-hmm. and all that. They have
fantastic.
This group of
fantastic.
Yeah,
the third sex.
But it's not easy though. I mean, it's not an easy life. I saw the documentary and they talk about
they're
it.
Poor. You really can't get anywhere in the professional world if you're a third sex.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it more frequent over there or something? I mean, I hate to be.
No, I don't know much either.
I think it's just because the way that spirituality and society kind of blended and because it's a very, there are very old societies there that, you know, it just
right.
grew, right? And they weren't so rigid about.
Because they've seen more, you know, they've time progressed more in their society.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how old is the Indian society and compared to the American society, you know? So there's, you know, hopefully that's going to change. Huh?
Good luck with that.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to be bitter.
Well, I understand.
Well, because we're just burgeoning with this whole third sex thing. Was that, you know, there is a male, there is a female, there's gay.
But right? The thing is, oh. For me personally, and of course it's a personal thing, I tend to, since I came out, definition is not so crucial for me anymore. I just feel like if everybody can look at everybody as an individual, I mean, regardless of, I think the reason why we separate and we do that is because we judge, you know, we use our own experience to judge other people. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that is out of your own understanding, they are weird. And,
right.
and we do that all the time. And as human beings, that's how we have different class and different race and different all that. It's because, you know, we sort of flock into our own group. But it becomes easier for me since the day that I realized that I'm gay and I'm different and I the whole experience of me being sort of on the other side now that I'm here is very humbling, and that makes me stop judging people, even though I do still do that, like I judge the ugly lady looking at me weird, right?
But it's within our nature to do that.
Right, but as long as I know to pull back, like for me it's personally, when it comes to sexual and gender identity, I'm so open now. I have really no judgment, nothing. I'm pretty open, and there's still a lot of not that I'm better, but it's just that I'm not. It's easier for me now. I can look at it because I grew up with a transsexual and so that makes it something that is sort of wide open in my family. You know, we just know that uncle used to, now she's an aunt and used to be an uncle. And I think that is making my realization of I shouldn't judge, and also sexuality. Now there's this whole idea, and we should talk about this too, bisexuality. What do you guys think about bisexuality?
I say do what you gotta do.
I have no problem with it. I mean I could empathize with them. I can understand where they're coming from. Heck, I even find women attractive, and I find myself with sexual feelings towards women, but I wouldn't necessarily categorize myself. But if, you know, that helps them
right.
to be put into a category, then go for it.
See, the whole problem with it is I kind of, I don't know if I agree or disagree, but I just, I want to say to people who...
Are you away from your mic? You sound a little far
no,
from me. Okay.
No.
Now, Mike,
is it better?
Okay. Yeah.
I guess I just think that, you know, I just want to say to people who are bisexual, you know, you kind of sort of, if you're bisexual because you're interested in both, then that's great. If you're bisexual because you don't want to fully be included in the camp of homosexual people,
right.
that's a little different. And like I said,
but that's not the problem of real bisexuals, right? And they are the victims of those so-called bisexual because they're not secure enough to call themselves gay, that they want to be bisexual so that they can sort of be in between.
See, because I always think that, you know, if you're bisexual, you kind of have to count yourself as a member of this side, the homosexual side, because you have those tendencies. It's the people who want to be on both sides, but... do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't think I agree, though.
But sexually gay? Is that what you're saying?
But they just want to... It's a difference between like I have several bisexual friends, and at least a few of them, if you ask, they associate more with being homosexual, meaning that they admit that they like men and women are, you know, turn them on from time to time, and they do that from time to time. Then I also have friends who are bisexual because they are interested in both, but they hold on to the but since I have sex with a woman, I'm not gay. Do you know what I mean? And my whole point is, if you're going to have sex with men and women, you live in both worlds, and you can't shun one or the other.
Well, that's true. And so I think real bisexual... Well, the reason why I brought up this subject is because there are gay community who are just looking at bisexuals as a cop-out and don't look further. And I do have enough bisexual friends that I become a bit more sensitive to their struggle. Because if you think that being gay is hard, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole transgender issue. Being bisexual, I think, is even harder.
Well, you know, for me, I'll be brave enough to admit that I had that mentality in the beginning.
I used to.
I very much did till I met my first, what I would consider, because I think the reason for that is, I think the bisexual people I knew before that point were not really bisexuals as much as they were gay men who did not want to admit to being gay. Mm-hmm, they were, lived with men, stayed with men, you know, and they just said they liked women so they wouldn't be fully gay. But until I met my very first bisexual man who I actually understood the torment of it. Right. He was a very wonderful, nice person. He was married. He had 3 kids, and he didn't really realize that he was gay until he was about 40 years old.
So is he gay or is he bisexual?
He's still married. He considers himself bisexual. But see, the reason that I understood it and I respected it was, he's married. He refuses to cheat on his wife.
He's committed.
But he will talk to me about how tortured he is and about how he wishes that he could just express to his wife that, look, I like this. It's something I'm interested in. I'm not looking to cheat on you. I'm not looking for a piece on the side. But like he said, he would love to be able to own a gay porn movie and not have his wife freak out about it.
Right.
And it took him years before he told his wife. I mean, I've known him for a long time. Actually, I don't speak to him anymore, but it was at least 6 years that I knew him online. And he actually, towards the end of our talking, did tell his wife, and she was so understanding about it that she was even willing to experiment with a third person.
Right.
Well, that's when I learned, that's when I thought I really understood, you know, that it's not just a cop out, that there really are people
who are really, really bisexual and torn in that.
Yeah,
and I understand it because I have friends, I have close friends who are bisexuals, and I have a very, very, very good friend of mine. We grew up together, and I shouldn't go into too much detail because I understand.
Is it cute?
Shut up. I understand his situation, and it is, I understand your friend's situation too. He just want to be that open and in that level, share everything with his wife.
Oh, absolutely.
But afraid the consequence of telling her that, I guess.
Well, it's like he said. I mean, he said if he felt like he was interested in going and finding somebody and cheating on his wife, he wouldn't have been as torn as he was just wanting to. Because he basically said that although he was not looking to cheat, although he was not looking to step outside of his marriage, he still felt like he was lying to his wife and it tore him apart.
Yeah, because he's not telling her the whole truth.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, I mean, we had conversations where I almost was in tears feeling how bad. I mean, because I don't feel like I have that. I mean, I can say to my boyfriend, you know, hey, I want to watch straight porn. I mean, I own straight porn. It doesn't bother him in the least. I mean, he watches it. I watch it. It's not the big deal. But imagine if you were in a situation where you didn't know how that other person was going to react.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention something else when you're talking about how, you know, once you're coming out and you start to accept more things and you don't judge as much. It's partially true because I do think there's still a lot of gay people out there who still follow the closed-minded mentalities of what they were taught by their families and their communities before they came out. I mean, I've never been able to understand how you can be a gay person and also be a racist at the same time. And
right.
Against, you know, and it's true. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, you know, racism as much as, you know, being bigoted against people who right. have religions, you know, like...
If you don't want to be judged, how can you judge another group?
But as Americans, especially, we do that all the time.
You say especially.
You say especially. Especially
as Americans. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
And you can tell the difference between taxes and Texas.
Shut up!
But I mean, we do. But what the point I was going to make is that conversely, though, what I think is amazing is that my family, when I first came out to my family, my mother especially was very Catholic, and my coming out has made my mother a lot less Catholic. She's still very Christian. She still believes very much in Christianity, but she believes. I think that my mother is an interesting person because I think that my coming out was the final, you know, straw that broke the camel's back about losing faith in Catholicism. Mm. And it just, but my parents who I weren't, my father is very liberal. He's never been really racist or particularly, you know, I never heard anything out of my dad's mouth about, you know, derogatory about anybody. My mom never heard it, but I, you know, she never really expressed it. But now I notice that since they have a gay son, they seem so much more accepting of everything else.
Right.
Because I think when you're, as a parent, when your whole belief system or your whole plans for your child are changed, you either have a choice to shut that person out or accept and embrace and enjoy that person, and it changes the way they think about things. I know that, I just think that a good point of that was my father came over today, and they were looking through our delicious library program for a movie to watch, and as I passed all the gay movies we have, Torch Song Trilogy, you know, Trick, you know, mm-hmm. all these movies that we have, whereas I thought my dad would have flinched at them when I said, oh, that's a gay movie. Well, what's it about? You know, almost mm-hmm. as if he was interested in possibly watching, you know, the movie, and I don't think that he would have been that way before. you know,
right.
he had a gay son. So, plus yeah. my dad has really good radar.
What? He does have a good gaydar?
Yeah, he very much does.
That's
and
good.
I think that's more because of my boyfriend. Because my boyfriend and him, I think we've talked about that before, but we go to baseball games with my dad and my boyfriend sit there and pick out the gay guys in the crowd.
So your dad is being trained by your boyfriend.
I think my dad had the eye beforehand. Cause I really think my dad knew. I think, you know, everybody says that, you know, the mother always knows. I think my dad knew before my mom knew.
See, yeah, my dad, I remember this happened quite a few years ago. Must have been 8 or 9 years ago. Maybe 8 years ago. My parents were visiting and we were at my brother's. I remember. Oh yeah, they were here for my graduation. So, no. This is after because I'm already out. Okay. So they were here during the vacation here in the States, and I was at my brother's apartment, and my dad was out in the living room watching TV as usual, soccer, you know, he's a big soccer fan. And my mother and my brother and I were kind of gay talk in the bedroom, and we were talking about who are possibly gay, you know, in our family members, you know, and we were talking about this and talking about that and neighbors and stuff. And then my dad, like, yeah, I'm talking about so-and-so, and he's totally gay. He just yelled out. And we were shocked at the music at the same time. You know, I must look at my brother, and we were cracking up because he was not part of the conversation. He was, he could hear us. He was in the living room, but he just yelled out, I think so-and-so is gay.
That's great.
And it's obvious, you know, it's obvious that he is that person.
Well, you know, I want to say something real quick. This is one of the things I love the most about your show, John, is I love when you get lost in a stream of consciousness in your own head. And you just go back and forth, and you're like, no, wait, could it be, no, but, and then you finally remember this. I love that. But I want to be, like, really Caucasian for a second and
okay.
ask the two of something.
Yeah.
Because it seems from listening to both Pinoy Boy and our friend Roseld and you, John, and a few of my other Asian friends, it seems like Asian people, culture, I guess maybe they're just so much more open about talking about that. Maybe not open about your children being necessarily, but that it's just an accepted part of life that there are people who are, and it's no big deal.
Some of it, yes. I would say yes and no. And I don't know about the Pinoy Boy's explanation, but my as a Chinese family, it is a complete total taboo. You do not accept anything at any level. This is a typical strict Chinese family. So it is a disgrace because the biggest responsibility is to be able to carry forward your family name. Mm-hmm. And if you are gay, if you're not going to get married, they would rather you, and this is in general, they would rather you be gay, get married, have a family, than living a happy life.
Well, and I understand that, and that's why I'm saying I'm not so much saying your parents accepting you, but just in general, admitting that there are neighbors, family members.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true in that way. Yeah, I would say yes. If it's not your family, it doesn't involve you, it's fine.
Right, because in the Philippines, when it's a farce when you know that someone's gay, and it's a little bit more overt because, yes, there are, I mean, if you're gay in the Philippines, well, way back when if you're gay in the Philippines, you are expected to have long hair. You are expected to wear lipstick and have eyeshadow on.
Yeah, see, I asked that question because I have a friend who would not come out to his parents. He was very afraid to come out to his parents.
Asian?
Yes, Vietnamese, actually. And I totally, like I've said before, I totally understand that. I think it's everyone's decision when, where, how, and if ever to tell anybody about your sexuality. I hate when people are outed. I hate when people are forced into things or coerced. It's your decision. It's your life. It's your family. And if you want to live your entire life not ever letting your family know, that's your business. Mm-hmm. But he was really very afraid to come out. But then when I went to visit, I listened to his mother and his sister talk, and granted, I do not speak Vietnamese, but they translated very loosely to me what the conversation was going on, almost as if they were apologizing that I didn't speak their language, which I didn't understand. But I remember his sister very embarrassedly saying to me, oh, my mother's just talking about, you know, a gay person who works at the shop. And they were talking about it not in a negative way. I mean, I could tell from the conversation that they were just talking about that person, and it was kind of a thing, oh, and, you know, that person's gay, and it was no big deal. But you don't see that in American culture. If you know somebody is gay, you immediately – it's either a horrible thing, you preface it with, you know, a negative term. It's never just a thing of, you know, oh, well, yeah, that guy at work, you know, he's the gay guy, and he's, you know, really nice, and he brought in this, that. It would be like, oh, that horrible gay guy, you know, he's bringing food for everybody, and nobody wants to touch it because he's gay. And I just don't understand. I just wanted to find out if it was just, you know, my mind.
But perversely, in Asian culture, I think a lot of people talk about being gay as – it's almost flipped, right, that they're talking about the positive points of this person being gay – but also, in a way, denigrating them because they're gay, right? It's like, this person's so-and-so, positive things, but he's gay, right? There's always this undertone of, too bad he's gay, even though all the positive things are being said.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I see. I guess
always looking at the positives of this person.
And again, I'm just hearing the translated conversation through, you know, two other people, one of who is gay, knows I'm gay, knows he's gay. You know, and the funny thing, to take it one step further.
Here's the issue is that they wouldn't necessarily be talking about this person in a positive light if they were just straight, right? This just happens to be an extra, like, attribute that makes them more interesting or makes them talkative, right? They could be doing the exact same thing you're doing and all these positive things, but okay, they're gay.
But it's not worth mentioning because if they're straight, they're just like anybody else, but because it's gay and there's something interesting to talk about, therefore we have to look for the few positive things to say about it.
Right.
You see, okay, and in the conversation, they were basically describing a good, you know, something that this person had done that was good. And when they referred to him, it would almost be like as if to say, you know, the blonde lady at work. You know what I'm saying?
But
what really got me crazy was that, you know, for this person being so afraid to tell his family obviously picked up very quickly that I was. And I would never say that I'm butch, but I'm not particularly, especially around people I don't know, I'm not feminine. I'm very careful and cautious, especially with a friend who's not out, who's family doesn't know. I don't want to tip anybody off, but they were immediately okay with it, and so okay that my boyfriend and I were welcomed to come visit and stay at their house, and his mother is a jeweler. She actually made our commitment rings. So, you know, it was very strange to me, and he kept saying to me that, again, it's no big deal that you are. They don't care that you are. It's not a bad thing.
As long as it's not their family.
As long as it's not him. Right. Exactly. Plus, being the only boy in the family, I guess.
I understand that. His point of view also, but you know, again, it's personal thing. My I always know that my parents are very open and loving. That's the thing. And, the reason my whole life based on my principle of my life is love, and that is coming from my parents. And I know about that, but at the same time, when we're getting ready to tell them that we're gay, and I'm talking about two sons, you know, that both sons are being gay, and we come out together. And it's got to be something, right? So we did that over email. The reason why is because we want to have them time to process and then respond, rather than just having them maybe having the opportunity for them to perhaps respond, maybe not in the way that they want it to be. You know what I mean? They just, a lot of people respond face.
So you told your parents via email?
Yeah.
I wish I had email when I told my parents, because that would have made things... So my mother just threw stuff at me. She did. She threw a box of tissues at me.
Really? Oh, that's kind of funny.
Looking back, my entire coming out drama was both so necessary for me to get to the person that I am today, because I was, although I was a fairly independent person, I was not very independent of my mother. I was very much worried about, you know... It's my mother's judgment weighed very heavily on me, and that was what broke that. I mean, it still does, I know, because I know Pinoy Boy's going to laugh since he knows personally about me, but, you know, it means a lot less to me now. And I've always said that my parents freaked out, and they told me that I had to either stop or get out of the house, and I chose to leave. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I left as a child and came back as an adult, and I did things in my own time, in my own way, and there was I think my brothers and sisters still have this tie with my parents that they can't seem to break. Like my brother lives like down the street from my mom and dad, and to me, I don't live anywhere near my parents. I see them every weekend. I'm very close with my parents these days, but it was my choice to be that way. And so I think that whole thing, I don't like. It's funny when you look back on it, because she asked me. I didn't tell her. She actually physically asked me, and when I told her that I was, she threw stuff at me and told me to go away because she needed to cry. And she laid the biggest guilt trip ever. I mean, I think that's the one thing that my mom really regrets is that she played the biggest guilt trip in the world and it had no effect.
Well, see, that's that's the thing. I didn't want to... Well, we talked about it, and my brother and I talked about it. And the reason why it was brought up is because my parents brought it up, because I was not hiding from them that I was already seeing Bruce. I didn't tell them that we were dating. I didn't tell them that we had sex and all that. But I told my mom that, you know, I'm going to be spending time with Bruce again this weekend. I'll be there, blah, blah, blah. So she knows about Bruce for the whole, since the first few weeks I dated him. So he knows about him. And then so much that she started asking my brother who Bruce is, because they suspected something more than just normal friends. And then, my brother said, I remember coming back from work, and we talked about that before, you know, said, if we want to do it, let's do it together, you know, so that they don't have to go through that twice, you know. So he did it, and wrote me an email telling me about, you know, he has to do this because my parents were asking. And, you know, I didn't know what the response was going to be. I don't know how my sister's response is going to be. Well, I didn't really come out to my sister until much, much late. Well, not much. I think since I came out to my parents, I got a lot of courage from that. I picked up a lot of courage from coming out to my parents, because they meant probably the most to me as far as knowing that I'm gay. After my parents know that I'm gay, there's really nothing else that I'm have to be afraid of at that time. So even coming out to, so it makes, in a way, it makes coming out to other people a little bit more easier, I think.
I think my parents knew too, because I was staying with my boyfriend at the time, like, 6 days a week. You know, I was never home. I mean, they were pretty...
But the thing is, I have relatives who are like that too, right? But they're just... Some people, their parents, and, you know, I would say my cousin's parents, they would just kind of, not really realize or think of it being that way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they just how old were you?
How old was I when I came out?
Yeah, when you came out.
Well, it was 22, I believe. No,
see, I was 17.
No, I was 23. Shit, yeah, I don't remember.
But you were older. In school, you were living here.
Yeah.
You were not... See, I was living at home under my parents'
roof. Right.
People were a lot more concerned about where I was going, I think, than probably, you know...
Well, I'm also the youngest child, so to them is, I have the backup of my brother, being the older brother, who's supposed to be more responsible than I am. No matter what I do, I will always be the baby of the family. So having my brother actually told them is actually much easier for me because I don't have to make a case that I am just being bad and therefore I'm gay. Because my brother is supposed to be the responsible brother in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not being a bad baby brother, you know, a kid. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit easier for me in that way. So my brother sort of took the bullet, I guess.
Well, I want to move off the whole coming out topic because we've kind of done that. But I have a question for you. Did you and your brother know when you were younger
that
you were both gay?
The thing is, I mean, how can you not, right? But the thing is, that's why I'm saying I'm stepping out from that side over to this side and realizing what I shouldn't do because I've been doing all that all my life. So that's why it changed my view entirely, is because I was on this side of the boundary, and then all of a sudden I realized, no, I'm supposed to be here. So I get to be, I get to experience what on the other side was. So in another way, it is when we growing up, sexual things are so not part of the family conversation. Asian family, Catholic Asian family. So it is like double whammy, right? So we don't talk about anything sexual, and anytime there's sexual things involved, we suppress it. And, well, at least for me, I don't know about my brother, but we never talk about sex, we never talk about dating, we never talk about girlfriend, boyfriends. No, never. But we always like and enjoy doing things together. There are certain things that we like to do together that, you know, and he's a creative person, he's an artist, and he likes to do music, and I like to sing. And so we always do things together. And we're very close, I think, because, not because of our gayness, but because of it could be partly because of our gayness that we enjoy certain activities together. So, but we're very close, but yet never talk about being gay. And you can see, I mean, I'm going to show pictures of me in the future very soon when I get my ass to scan those pictures. I was a very gay kid. I mean, I would dress, I would wear sunglasses, and I would wear my sister's shoes, and I would get,
excellent,
you know, handbags. And there's a picture of me in front of this hotel, we would go to this vacation, this big tour group, and I was holding a balloon, and I was standing like a Miss Universe, you know, with my leg, like, you know, I was twisted to the side, and I was holding the...
Your hip popped out.
Exactly. Strike a pose.
Yeah, completely strike a pose, and I cannot even justify that with my English description of it. I have my right knee slightly covering my left knee, and then with my...
He's got the Fanta girl pose going on.
Oh, I so did. And I was such a gay kid that it's almost impossible for people to not know that I'm gay because I was so gay. And, you know, and I was... And in fact, I used to dress up in this traditional sequins dress, and I would sing song in the dress, and then my mom used to really enjoy seeing me do that. So I would play the Chinese opera, and I'll do Chinese opera in my little pink dress, and I would play. I think I posted that picture in one of my coming out videos.
That's awesome. Well, Pinoy Boy, what about you? When you were younger, you were not a gay kid, or you were? Or...
Oh, yeah, I was.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's because we were over here, and we were kind of still trying to assimilate that wasn't really a big issue.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you don't want to say, oh, you're a boy, so don't do that type of thing.
Right. Well, I think it kind of was, right? Because I think people could identify that, but they never really said anything.
So you would never, like I said, no matter how conservative and Catholic my family is, I was never told not to do this because I'm a boy. Never.
See, and I don't think I ever had... All right, my whole story is this. I was not a particularly overtly gay kid. I was more the bookworm, quiet, shied away from everybody who wasn't kind of like me. Like, I think I knew I didn't know I was gay, but I knew there was something different about me when the minute they put me to play with the other kids in the neighborhood. Like, I was never the kid that wanted to go out. Well, first of all, my dad was deeply disappointed because I was not interested in sports whatsoever. I had glasses when I was in first grade. So, and I have really bad depth perception. So baseball, which is my father's thing, my father's favorite thing in the world was softball. And I can't catch a ball to save my life because I can't tell it's coming at me till it hits me in the face.
Well, I may have perfect vision, I still don't catch a ball.
But I think very early in my life, there was several things that happened. First was that I was the firstborn, so I was definitely my mother's favorite. Mm-hmm. My mother was very, and my mother wanted to mold me, I think, exactly in her image. I mean, Pinoy Boy and I have had lots of conversations off the air that I won't get into on the air of how much I realized at 33 years old how much my mother's influence has changed my personality and the person that I am. Mm-hmm. But right off the bat, I was not very handy. Like, my dad is a contractor and he does all kinds of work with tools, and I would put a hammer through a wall sooner than I'd hit a nail. I couldn't play sports, and I was my mother's favorite. So I was just right off the bat, no one even paid attention to me to say to me, you know, boys don't do this, boys don't do that. And then when my little brother came along, well, he was just the salvation, and luckily for me, no one paid attention to me. I mean, I really didn't. But I found myself very difficult to fit in with the neighborhood kids because I didn't want to play war. And, you know, when I did, all of my experiences were peripheral. Like, when it was time to play war, I was always the doctor. Do you know what I mean? No one ever wanted me on their team because I was... Or when it was football time, I had to be the coach because no one wanted me on the field because I couldn't catch the ball, you know. And like with I have two sisters, and I realized looking back that I enjoyed things that probably little girls did, but even those I did in a peripheral. Like, my sisters loved to play dress up, and I was definitely a part of that, but I was always the fashion designer. I was never wearing the heels or the hair or the anything.
Love those. I wore. Did you? I'm not... And here's I don't do drag besides the the Fanta thing. I don't. Well, I'm made of if I'm skinnier. But the thing is, I also, there are gay people who are so turned off by drag queens. Do you guys have?
I think drag queens are fantastic. I have so much respect.
I don't understand that too, because I think it's like you are applying the same quality that other people applied to you, but now in your own community. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I have a funny story about the whole drag queen and getting dressed up thing. I don't know if I've told this story before or not, but I remember when my sister got engaged for the first time. They were having an engagement party, and my mom is not all that well. She's sick, and she has trouble sometimes with her legs. And I remember she was getting dressed, and she was running very late, and she asked me if I would help her by putting on her pantyhose.
Right.
And my mother's never asked me. I mean, I know there's lots of guys who have very close relationships. I've never really helped my mother get dressed, saw my mother get dressed, sat around while she put on makeup or anything. But she asked me if I would help her with the pantyhose. Mm-hmm. So I'm on my knees, and she's sitting on the edge of the bed, and I'm trying to figure out how they work. And, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, you know, I realize, and of course, I'm not looking at this from a practical mind. I'm looking at it from my analytical, you know, computer programmer mind. I'm going, okay, there has to be a foot and a heel, right, or toe and a heel, and you know, there was this big mass of like white cotton in the middle, and I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on. My dad walks in, and he looks at me, and he looks at my mom, and he goes, what is going on? Mom asked me to help her put on her pantyhose, and my mom goes, and he can't figure them out, and my dad had this look on his face of like, thank God. And I even caught him telling a few people at the bar about the story with like this. And I mean, I have no, I would just make the most ugly woman on earth. I mean, I just know I wouldn't. But I didn't see
with the right person, you may look really fabulous.
Yeah, you know, and I would have no problem doing it. I really wouldn't. I mean, it would not bother me. But I didn't see my first drag show until my 29th birthday. We went to Florida and visited a friend of mine, and they took me to this place called the Parliament House, and I saw my first drag show. We went back like 3 times. I fucking loved it. I never had such a good time in my entire life. I just thought it was the greatest thing, and I have so much respect for them. I know I could not walk in heels. I just know I could not. I would tip over in a minute.
No, I love walking in heels. I think I'm very good in heels.
I think
too.
I am too.
And I think really? So hey, Pinoy Boy, we should get together and walk in heels?
That's why I love Geta sandals, because it's pretty much like walking in high heels, but...
Mm. See, I can't even walk in clogs. I tip right over.
Well, no. I kind of suck at it, but I want to do it well. I think that's why, because I'm a bit clumsy.
about thinking about wearing my normal shoes, but wearing, like, nice shoes, like high shoes, just because it makes you walk a little bit more elegant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It makes you walk a little bit more lighter. Oh, I agree with you.
Runway walking is just the most amazing thing to me. And right. I know, I can't tell myself.
You know what? Sometimes. You know what? When I was in college, and this is after I'm out, right? I was actually asked by the International Center. They have this International King and Queen competition. And I was the person who coached all the women to how to walk.
You know, that's and I told you, I actually have a lot of respect for men who are. Overly effeminate and are totally comfortable with it and just rock it, because you've got to be true to who you are. And if that's right. who you are, faking it is just not the way to be.
Right. I would rather you be honest than be anything that maybe the society perceive as being good.
You know, and it's true, because we have two friends, and one of who is slightly effeminate, but really lays it, like, when it's just the three of us, he's just himself. But when he's out in public, he cranks up the effeminateness
right,
of his
right.
personality to, like, an 11. And then we have a friend who, I mean, when he gets up in the morning, is just, you know, his flame is burning bright as can be. And I had so much, and I realized, you know, that I've had so much more respect for the person who was just who he was all the time than the person who cranked it up. I mean,
right. There are times, though, where you crank it up because you're having fun.
Yes, and but not like, when you're trying to get attention.
Correct. When you know, like, I'm sure when I am just doing my own things, I'm not that... when I'm doing my show, I'm a bit cranked up. But that's because I crank up everything. Because I was just telling Bruce that if a lot of people do a show with... I may have talked to you about that, too. I crank up about 110% when I record a show, just so that if you're just listening to the audio, you get a sense of who I am in real life, because you only have audio at that time. So if you mm-hmm. get the physical presence, because I'm very expressive, my face is very expressive, and you know, Pinoy Boy, you've seen me on IHF mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. Right? So it gives you
yes,
a different level.
Thanks.
It gives you a different level of me, of myness. And so I have to crank it up 110%. So I tend to do that when I'm so, let's say when I go out with Michael, I'll be so queenie, because it's really fun. We call it charging our bitchy power. It's because we get to be so bitchy to each other, and it is so fun. I mean, you can tell probably from the recording, you know, of the ghost stories. We're walking on the street and we're like screaming and laughing, right? And that's us charging our bitchy power is what we call it.
See, and I'm jealous about. See, I think the reason for that actually is, and I shouldn't say this because I'm kind of telling you what you do, but I think that's because you when you don't have work or tasks or anything in your way and you're just yourself.
Right.
You know, because I hopefully Pinoy Boy's not going to smack me next time he sees me, but
smack.
You know, Pinoy Boy and I we're co-hosts on the show, but we're really very good friends outside of the show. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that when I am with him, he made a joke once that said, because my boyfriend's made a joke too, that I gay it up a bit when I am out. And I don't think it's that I'm gaying it up as much as I just – all the other bullshit gets out of the way because I'm right. having fun with someone I really enjoy being around. Uh-huh. And I think my true, really honest and good underneath personality comes out, because I think on our show, I don't think I put on an act on the show at all. I mean, I'm Eeyore. I am constantly complaining, bitching, miserable person almost all the time. And I mean, Pinoy Boy, do you think you change for the show? Do you have
– I don't know. I really don't know.
See, I think you do, though. I think you sound pretty much exactly like when we were chatting on iChat. And
because I was told, actually, my sister has been on the show, my little sister, and mm-hmm. she's one of my favorite people who has been on the show.
I think I heard that episode.
Yeah, the thank you for not smoking episode.
Right,
but
right.
They used to make fun of me because I used to put on a show voice, they said, when I would start the podcast. But people have said that since Pinoy Boy's come on, and it's been less about me being, a performer, and more about
interaction.
Exactly. And that's why we hate doing shows where we don't have the eyesight on, because when we were together in Chicago, the quality of the show, being able to see him raising his eyebrow at me or see me having the shock look on my face, just made it so much more interactive.
Yeah, that's true. And you just got to do what you got to do to make the show to the level that you want.
So there you go. That was the conversation that we had. I know we cannot play everything because it was 4 hours. And so I will be breaking those pieces up again next time and put it on as a raw show or as a show that I can use when I don't have time to record a full show. Thank you so much for your comments, and especially Christopher, who added me to his Twitter, and also his comment. I think he sent in another comment. Oh yeah, he was mad. I'll play his comment right now.
Good morning, John Ong. This is Christopher Coates in California, Pennsylvania. It's 6:24 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm up getting ready to go to my internship this morning, and I was listening to your latest podcast, and I'm a little pissed that you did another live broadcast that you recorded, and I had no idea that you did it. I'm just very beside myself this morning, and you need to come up with some sort of email list or listserv so that even if you do a spur of the moment live broadcast, you can send that email out and people will know, at least have a notification. Because I'm a full-time student and it's the end of the semester, so I'm doing a lot of projects, a lot of papers, and so I do a lot of sitting in front of the computer this time of the year. So, you know, it's easy for me to listen and interact online as well as do homework. So I'm just upset that I missed listening to you live. I have to go take a shower now. Okay, have a good day. Bye.
So that was Christopher's comment. I hope I have time to edit all those together. And anyway, I'll talk to you next week. And don't forget to smile. Bye.